All right. You fellas has been being in here, you know, kind of where we've been going. We've been looking at this thing of the fact that we're in a war. It's a war that no getting out of. We're in it until we're in it. The day we were born, we're either going to be victorious or we're going to be a casualty in this war. And we're in this war and there's no getting out. And we're either going to get ready. We looked over in Numbers, and we looked at Numbers over in, I forgot the chapter now. Ain't got it down. But anyway, we looked over there in the book of Numbers. I think it was in chapter 1. But we looked at 1, 2, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 30, 32, 34, 36, verses 38, 40, 42, and 45, when God numbered the people of Israel. And it said, of those men that were able to go forth to war. Now, and the whole thought of that was, are we able? Are we able? Are we able to take part in this warfare that we're in, or are we going to be a casualty? Are we prepared? And we talked a little bit, and I tried to show you, get the understanding that we need to be able. We need to be prepared. It takes preparation. I talked about, hey, I wouldn't want to have to go overseas and fight over in Iran, Iraq, or any of those places. I wouldn't be able. I'm not prepared. I do not have the training. I'm not physically equipped for it. You know, I can't run and leap. Now I said, but now you come breaking into my house, now you're going to find out I'm ready to go to war. Okay? I got a 12 gauge over there that would be quite able to sustain you. Okay? But we got to be prepared. We got to understand if you're going to go to war, you got to first understand that you're in a war. You know, I'm afraid that so many people in our churches today do not have that understanding. They think this is, you know, they're just on a merry-go-round going round and round from week to week, you know, and do not understand that they're in a war, and the enemy is taking us. Oh, is he not taking us? I mean, look at the churches. Look at the men of God. Look at our family members. Look at the pain. Look at the suffering. Is he not taking us? And we read those verses over there and said, we're not ignorant of his devices, are we? Are we ignorant? I think so many people in the church are ignorant. Paul said, we are not ignorant. And I think he was talking about, because that was wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, we're not ignorant. Lean not to your own understand all our ways, acknowledge him, he shall direct our paths. And if we are not being yielded to the Spirit of God, we're ignorant. We can't discern. We don't know what's good, what's bad. This past week, for some reason, I don't know why, I ended up I watched this movie, and then I said, I'm kind of interested in watching this movie. When I got there, all of a sudden I realized it was in Chinese. I still watched it. Everything in there was in Chinese. Spoken Chinese. I couldn't understand but one phrase in there where a judge stood up and says, these proceedings are foolish. He said, I'm dismissing the case. That's the only thing in the whole thing that I understood. And I think that's the way we are a lot of times in life. We're looking on, but we don't really understand what's going on. And we got to have discernment. The Lord spoke to my heart about that about some years ago. I can't say I still got it, but I understand that we need discernment, and that comes through the Spirit of God. And we're in this war, and I'm afraid so many of us, so many of our families, so many of our churches are casualties because we don't understand we're in a war. We're not preparing for war. We don't know the devices of the devil. We do not understand his weapons, and we are not learning the weapons that are at our disposal to fight this war. And if we don't know how, hey, just like, man, if you drop me off over in Iraq and they throw, here's your equipment. Well, what do you do with this? How does it work? Is it God's thing got a safety on it? Where is it at? You know? I've seen some of them things they carry around. I wouldn't know how to operate them. You know? You got to be trained. In the same way, spiritually, we got to have training. So we need to understand we're in a war. We first got to know we're in a war if we're going to do any fighting. Now, we've looked at a couple of the enemies. First week, we looked at the world and all that's in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, and that's one of the principal weapons that Satan attacks us with is this world. And we talked a little bit about how this world is in enmity against God. And to be in love with the things of this world is being in enmity with God. Well, I mean, you know, we can be saved and living a traitorous life. Do you not understand that? We got to be careful of that. Well, you know, I'm asking God to help me. I don't know about you, but I really am. I'm asking God to help me. I'm failing. I want God to help me through this. I looked at how things that are in my life that I need to put some off. I got some things I need to put off. I can't do that in myself. Do you understand that these enemies are greater than us? You ain't. The Bible said, "He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world." Huh? But you're not. I'm not. The world is greater than me. It will run me over. It will smash me, tear me to pieces. It'll take me asunder. Then we looked at the flesh. That world is attractive to our flesh. So the devil takes the world and the things of this world, and he comes at attacks us. And I said, that's probably one of our greatest enemies. We face him every morning in the mirror. We try to make him look presentable. Need to try to straighten him out. We can't. That flesh, Paul said within me, this is what Paul said. The apostle, our apostle, said, "If in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And Paul went on to say, he said, "The things that I would do, I don't do." He said, "But the things that I hate, those things I do." Now, he didn't say this before he got saved. He said this after he got saved. You know what he was saying? That flesh is stronger than me. The world is stronger than me. Man, they're tearing me apart. And then he goes on, he says, "Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He said, "I thank God." Amen? Through Christ Jesus. And then only the Spirit of God can give us victory over this world and over this flesh. And I'm going to tell you something, man, it's like old Lester Roloff used to say. He said, "Boy, you can crucify that. You can nail that flesh up there on the cross." And I said, by lunchtime, it's done wiggled down off of there. And you got to start all over again. You're in a war. We cannot handle this world. We cannot handle this flesh. And why am I saying this? You say, I'm like, you're despairing. You're within gloom. No, Paul said, "I thank God through Christ Jesus." We can't do it. And we got to understand that we can't do it. And we got to spend our lives realizing that and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God so God can do it for us. And that's where we're failing. Because, you see, we think we got to handle it. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. Yeah. You know, and you get lax. You get lazy. You fall asleep. You know? You just get... You like a guy on, you know, it's on guard duty, you know what I mean? He's sitting there like this. Huh? He's got his weapons with him, you know. He's got his commission. He knows what he's supposed to do, but he's out, you know. And that's the way so many of us are. We're not on guard. Now, this morning, we're going to look at this third enemy, the devil. Satan. You know, the devil, and the root word is a goat. Always butting, you know. And we got lots of devils. Hey, I'm looking at a bunch of them right here. We can be purity devils, can we not? Because we got that flesh. We in this world. Hey, we got that. Hey, we got a new mind, praise God, but we still got that old mind. I never forget a preacher got up there. Boy, he was snorting. He was letting her rip. He said, man, I tell you what, boy. Since I got saved, I got a brand new wonder. And my wife, on the way home, she asked me, said, David, you ever find yourself wanting to do some of the things we used to do? I said, yeah. I said, so did that preacher. He just didn't want you to know that. See, and you got a fight. You're in a fight. It's a war. It's a war. And that warfare is with yourself, with this world, and then you got another one. And he's so quiet. He's so quiet, so subtle. Now, I've tried to be careful this week. I'm going to tell you something. I'm scared. I'm afraid about approaching the devil. I figured this week, man, everything would come out against me because I was trying to prepare for it. And then I had some things. It did. But I'll tell you one thing I did. I took some wisdom from a fellow by the name of Michael, and I durst not bring a railing accusation against Satan. He's not my problem. I just need to turn him over to God. I think of Jesus, when Satan came to him, kissed him on his cheek, what was his return? He said, what are you supposed to do to your enemies? That's right. Love your enemies. Does God hate the devil? He most certainly does. But I'm going to tell you something else. He loves him. God is loves with an everlasting love. If he ever loved Lucifer, he still does. And I'm going to keep my mouth off of him. I'm like, God, I understand what he is. I'm afraid of putting my mouth on him. See, he's that evil servant. He's still God's servant. And God uses him. And I'm going to try to show that and prove that this morning. God uses him. He's God's servant. You better keep your hands. The Bible said, we're not to judge another man's servant. Who am I to judge God's servant? What I want us to see is how powerful he is and how he's beyond his stuff about, oh, we're going to have a beat the devil, son. Yeah, you go out there. You go ahead. You try to beat the devil. You'll find out who's going to get beat. He's going to slap us around. Oh, you know, we're going to do like Jesus. We're going to quote the scripture to him. We're going to bring him. You go ahead. He knows the scripture as good as you do, maybe better, I don't know. But the Spirit of God knows the Word of God and how to apply it, and you better turn it over to the Spirit of God and let Him instruct you in how to handle the devil. And He's going to come against you. How many of you have been out on visitation before and a devil show up? I can't even handle them little imps. I can't imagine what if Satan himself was to bring himself up against me. You know, I'm telling you, I'm nervous. But let's look at this. Let's look at a few verses. I'm just going to read some verses over here on the devil. First turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Well, going too far, David. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober. Be vigilant. Don't be like that guard I was talking about out there asleep, you know. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he can only do it, like again, I say, he's God's servant. He can only do it by God's permission. He's looking to see, hey, have you not read where Paul said, I've turned them over to the devil. I've already turned them over to the devil. These weren't lost people he turned over to the devil. These are people, we're trying to help the lost. These are people that he knew better and was living in a way that they shouldn't, and he turned them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. I tried to tell these young people yesterday, I said, well, you know, when I was little, how many of you ever been out there and when you was a little kid and you was outside playing, and next thing you know, somebody goes, y'all ain't playing right, you know what I mean? Next thing there's a fight going on, and boy, mama sticks her head out the door. If y'all don't do better, he said, you can come on inside. A little bit later, something else happened. She said, okay, come on in. Come on in. You don't know how to act out there, come on inside so I can keep my eye on you. I'm that way God would do us too. If we do not line up with God, he'll bring us home. He'll take us out of here. You don't know how to live down here? Come on up here. I'll put you over here. Keep my eye on you. You know? That happens. You say, oh, hey, look, I brought this out the other week. How there's many sickly among you. And there are those that are asleep. And we're talking, that's physical death for the Christian. Why? Because God took them out of here because they didn't know how to live down here. They were being rebellious. They were being hard-headed. They were being little devils. You know, God took them out. Okay, come on. Come on. That'll happen. And so this adversary is going about seeking who among us he can take out. Because he'd like to take you out. He does not want you to be an influence in this world. He does not want me to be an influence in my family. He doesn't want you to be able to make an influence in this world. He wants you to be taken out. And he's looking, God, can I have this one? Can I have this one? Can I have that one? I seen him. You see what he did, God? No, I'm going to give him a... No, no. But I'm going to tell you something. When God turns you over, you're out of here. You're gone. It might be to the good of your family. Huh? I'm just simply saying, we're in a war, and buddy, there are going to be casualties. You want to be one? I don't. But I tell you what, if I'm going to get in the way of God, I just say, go ahead and take me out. I said a long time ago, if I was God, I'd have took me out of here. I'd have stomped me down the ground, kicked the dust over me a long time ago. To find somebody else. But he's left me, and I'm still trying to be in the fight. I want God to help me. Okay, look here in Acts 10:38. says how God anointed Jesus and that of the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, the devil is oppressing people, and we're supposed to be little Christ in this world, helping deliver people from the oppression of the devil. He is an enemy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're just hitting some different verses right now, just kind of establish this rascal. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look down in verses 6 and 7. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride. You know that's always a working of the devil. Being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. These are not lost people. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. He's got snares out there. This Bible, I tell you what, this Bible's full of traps. They're not for us, but I'm afraid a lot of times Christian people fall into those snares and those traps that God has got in this Bible. Why? Because they're not familiar with the Word of God. And Satan, he'll use it. You don't think Satan will use this Bible to trip you up if you're not careful? You need to study to show thyself approved unto God. Man, if you take this Bible lightly, the devil will use it to hurt you. Look at here. Revelation chapter 12. And look down in verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted a woman which brought forth a man child. Now we know this is during the tribulation, but I'm gonna tell you, he's loose upon the church as well. He's working all he can against us. If you don't believe it, look in 2 Corinthians. We just quoted that. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look down here in verse 11. First, let's go back and look at 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Why? Why do we forgive? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Hey, I'm telling you, you got unforgiveness towards people. Man, that's one of Satan's devices, and he's going to use it. It'll be a snare unto you. Boy, you got some bitterness or envy or any of those kind of things, Satan is going to use it. Now, we can see the way Satan makes his attack. You can look in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 when he comes against the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see that. First, he tried to entice him. He come to him with his flesh. He came to him with his flesh. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weak. And he came to him. Hey, you're going to have times. We're going to have times in our life. We're tired. Boy, you just get weary. Preacher, you get out there. You go out there and work, you know, a week down in a prison. You know what I'm saying? Boy, and you get and you travel and you do all that thing. And you come out. Man, you're on a mountaintop. Hey, you know what happens? Then comes Amalek. You know what I mean? Huh? That flesh. And the devil will say, oh, come on. He's going to try to use that flesh against you. Hey, you are tired and wore out. You better watch out. That's when he's going to come against you. You get weary. You know, I'm dead. I am beat. Man, you start working them long hours at work, and boy, next thing you know, you start feeling sorry for yourself, not being thankful. Not praying half, don't read your Bible. You're not meaning to do that. You're just simply tired and weary. Hey, it's time to come aside. It's time to get some rest. It's time to be understanding that Satan is going to come against you. He came against his flesh. Then you know how he took him up there and, boy, took him up there, up on that high mountain, showed him all the world. And all the nations of this world, you know? He said, all these will I give thee. You know why he could say that? Because they're all his. And the glory of them. Satan has glory. He said, in the glory of them. He said, all these will I give thee. If you just bow down and worship me. So he's going to come. He's going to offer you things in the world. He'll offer you a position. There's a lot of preachers, man. He'll get to start doing a good work someplace. Then all of a sudden, some bigger church come up there. Hey, come over here. Well, you know, we'll do this for you. We'll do that. You'll have a bigger work, and you know, you get some name and some glory. You better watch that. The devil will do that. He works that way. He said, God, hey, you remember when the trees, they looked for somebody to be a king over them? And boy, and they came and they asked the vine. He said, shall I leave my sweetness and the joy to come and be a king over you? And he came, and he came to the fig tree? Huh? Fig tree? No. I'm going to stay in my place. This is what God has made me to be. But he came to the bramble. Bramble said, I'll indeed be king over you. Huh? We don't want to be no bramble. Amen. There's those that are willing to listen to the devil. I'm talking about God's people. We've got to be careful with that. Now, then, after that, he used his world. He used his flesh. And the devil tried to get him to say, I'm greater than you. He said, you're hungry. I'll take care of your needs. Just fall down before me. Thank God that Jesus Christ was not just a man. Amen. Thank God he didn't have fallen, sinful flesh like we did. He stood. See, he was able. We are not. We are not able. So, let's look over here in Job quickly. I need to be moving. Look in Job chapter. I could probably teach on the devil and the way he comes at us for weeks, but we're just going to look at him, make an overview. Look in Job chapter 1. Now, I said a minute ago, and that's the reason why I'm not going to put my mouth on the devil. I'm going to let God deal with him as he's his servant. But there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed or hated evil. And they were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. Lord, he had a lot of stuff in this world. She has in a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, and every one his day sent and called for the 3 sisters to eat and drink. And so it was when the days of their feasting was gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continually. You know what? He was in the war. He realized that there was a war. He prepared himself. He prepared himself for the fight because he did this, the Bible says, continuously. You think he was a match for the devil? You think he was a match for his flesh? If you think so, you keep reading Job. You'll find, even though he never cursed God, never blamed God, you find him failing. You find him cursing the day that he was born. You find him, you know, and this ain't wrong to question God, but he was like, ain't this what I said from the beginning? Man, God, you ought to, it'd be better for me if I'd never been born. So you find him. But he prepared. He was ready for the battle. God knew he was prepared. He knew he chose him as a vessel. And then look here. Look what happened here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Doing what? Looking whom he may devour. That's what he was doing. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Look what God did. God sicks the devil on the Job. Why? For the glory of God. Because he wanted to do something to help not only Job, but help me and you. He's going to show us through Job, even though you're going to suffer in this world, he is able and he will keep you. Did he not keep Job through all that? But he prepared himself. And Satan come again. And Satan said, look, he said, yeah, does he not worship you for naught? Hey, the only reason why we serve God is because God blesses us. Because we got it easy. If that's the reason, you know what's going to happen down the road? You're going to get blowed out. You're going to have a suffer a catastrophe. Have you not read it's given unto you not only to believe on the Lord, but to suffer for His sake? That's a gift. Suffering is a gift. And God don't give that gift to just anybody, but He gave it to Job. Paul said that I may know Him. Do you really want to know Jesus? You better get honest here. You say, oh, yes, I do. You better be ready to suffer then. That's the only way it's going to come. Paul made it plain, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. Not your suffering, His suffering. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship. You want to have power? The power of the resurrected Christ? Everybody said, oh, the power of God in my life. And you're going to suffer. It's going to be suffering involved in it. You think people that go to war, you don't think they suffer? You suffer all kinds of things. You suffer loneliness. Sometimes you feel like you're the only person there. You have a whole group of men around you, but you feel like you're all by yourself. You're separated from your family. Boy, and it happens. You live for God. It's going to be some separation from your family. I'll never forget some years ago. I said, God, what are you doing? I felt like God took away my church. Things changed. I felt like God took away my church. He took away my soul winning partner. And boy, and then I got to a part I was having, me and my wife was having problems. I felt like God was going to take away my family. I said, oh God, what is going on? What's going on? He said, and He told me what was going on. I want you to want me. I want you to want me. I don't want you to want that church. I don't want you to want that the fellowship. You should want to have fellowship with the brethren. Don't get me wrong. And you should love your church. He said, but these things, I'll add to you, but I want you to want me. So you're going to suffer some things. You're going to be cut away. There's going to be some pain. There's going to be some cutting away. There's going to be some suffering in your life if you're really going to know Jesus Christ. And God is going to use Satan to do that. You better be prepared. You better be ready to go to war. You better realize this is the way it is in this Christian life, the true Christian life. Not this American Sunday school meeting kind of Christianity that we got going on. A million more in 54 and all that kind of stuff. Well, you're not really in a fight. There's no persecution. The devil will let you fill your church houses. And then he'll tear them asunder. And bring reproach against the cause of Christ. We've seen that done, have we not? Time and time again. You better be ready for the fight. Look here. So we find that in Job, and God allows him to take away he takes everything from him. He takes his children. He takes his possessions. And when his friends come around, they turn on him. When they should have been, you know, they were some of them Sunday go to meeting kind of Christians. You know what I mean? That's what they didn't know about this kind of warfare. They were unprepared. And when they saw Job in his condition, they said, oh man, he's done something awful. Huh? Boy, what a wicked man he must have been. We thought he was right with God. Look at him. Remember I said I watched that movie and I thought I knew what was going on? But I really didn't. I ain't got a clue what it was about. It ain't no telling what they were saying or doing. That's the way it is a lot of times we see people. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. I don't know what's going on in that person's life. Paul said, I judge nothing before the time. Judge this, rather. Amen. Examine your own self. Huh? Judge righteous judgment. Get in the Bible. Then you'll know what you're supposed to do for this person. That you're supposed to pray for them. You humble yourself before them. You'd exhort them. You'd encourage them. Edify them. Build them up. Man, I've heard preachers say, man, I've got to get them lost before you can get them saved. Look, they're already lost as a goose. They need edification. They need the word of truth. And then the Holy Ghost of God can show them what they need. Then a fly over really aggravate me. We see him as a tempter. We looked at it in Mark 4, and Matthew 4, Luke 4, and Mark chapter 1. We see how this tempter works. We see Satan. He is that evil servant. We see him in Job. And look over here in Job chapter 41. I think this is an important thing that we see about him. He's God's servant coming to do the will of God in Job's life. But look in 41. I'm going to show you his power and his glory. Look here in 41. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Remember, you're in a fight. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. You have no power over him. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? He said, I made him. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick there. They cannot be asundered. By his nestings a light does shine. His eyes are like the eyelids of the morning, and out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as with a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and the flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turning to joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone. Yea, his heart is a piece of the nether millstone. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turning him as stubble, and darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things under the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think that the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is king over all the children of pride. That's him. He has great glory, great power. We are no match. But praise God, amen. He created this world. He's in this world. But greater is he that's in me. I tried to get these young people yesterday in Bible club to see what they were. If you're saved, you're a child of God. You got the King of Kings. He's a king over all the children of pride. He's a great king, a powerful king. He's the God of this world. But praise God, my God's a God of gods. My God is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has all authority. He has all power. The power of Satan is his power. He just lendeth it to him for a short time. God wants to lend us some things too. But we got to realize we're in a war. I can look, and I'm running out of time. If you look over in Revelation, you'll see Satan and his religion. He's into religion. He wants people to live moral, upright. He don't want all this problems and stuff that's going on in the world. He wants some quietness. He wants, because why? Because he's subtle. He's coming in easily. Job 2 Corinthians 4:4, John 5:43, Thessalonians 2:3-10, and Ephesians 2:1, you find out he is the God of this present world. And these are the enemies that we're going to face. Tough. We are no match for not one of them. And yet we got three that we're in warfare with daily. Do we not need God in our life? Do we not need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not need the mind of Christ? Do we not need the power of God, the resurrection power of God? And it only comes when we're willing to suffer for His sake. Make yourself willing. You've got to have a willing mind. A lot of us don't have these things, so we're not willing. People talk about wanting revival. I don't think we do. You got to get a willing mind. If we really want revival, if that's really what we desire, we'll get it. You know when people get saved? When they want Jesus. When they want the gift of God. You want to know when you get the things of God? When you really want what God wants. Not what we want. What we want to do, we want to get God to want what we want. Brother Jim, will you pray for us this morning? We'll go on into the preaching hour.